You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, June 10th, and with us today is Stephen Dubner, author of Freakonomics, the book, and also the blog at thenewyorktimes.com. And we're talking about efficiencies. Stephen, here's a question for you. How efficient is the airlines industry?
You know, they've gotten a lot better, and then they got walloped on the side of the head by the price of oil.
By the price of oil.
I mean, you know, the interesting thing is that Southwest Airlines was supposed to be a business model that could scale up.
Right.
And the big airlines tried it and it didn't work. Song and TED are gone. The little no-frills airlines.
Which
doesn't work.
Which brings us to small airlines.
Out of the clear blue of the western sky comes Sky King.
The sounds of a Cessna T-50, perhaps the sounds of a better time. Today, the big airlines, as we were just talking about, they're hiking fares, they're axing thousands of jobs, they're retiring fuel-inefficient planes and continuing to cut what little amenities they've been offering. The big airlines are streamlining, but what about the smaller airlines? Joining us now is Dan Wolf, founder, CEO, and a pilot for Cape Air, based in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And Dan, I understand the skyrocketing fuel prices, you're not taking a huge hit on them.
Well, we're taking a hit just like everybody, but probably the impact on our company, Cape Air, is less than on the big airlines.
What makes your business model different, and why would that be the case?
Well, we're a lot of niche carriers out there. We probably redefine the term niche. So we serve very small communities, mostly short haul, so that fuel is a smaller percentage of our operating costs. So the impact of fuel changes are less on us than the big guys.
You run the largest independent regional airline in the country. You carry about 700,000 passengers a year, or you did so last year. Are you expanding this year?
Yeah, well, volatility creates opportunity. So for the small players like us, a lot of small communities around the country that had service from small jets and turboprop airplanes, those routes are becoming unviable for the equipment that are serving them, so that creates an opportunity for us. Call us a bottom feeder if you want.
Bottom feeder.
You know, one of the statistics in the airline industry that's always interesting is at what point, at what passenger point on the individual plane, the ride itself becomes profitable. I mean, I've seen numbers all over the map for big airlines, but for you, and I gather your planes carry about 9 people or maybe a few more. At what point do you have to fill those planes so that they're profitable?
Well, our break-even load factor is about 55%. And with the majors, as you know, it's up near 90%.
Wow.
And what kind of fare increases? What are your fares looking like today as opposed to last year?
It's very route-specific, but we're up probably on average between 10 and 15%. We like the majors, have done fare fuel surcharges on some of our markets. They vary anywhere from $5 to $10 one way.
And what are you anticipating for the rest of the season? Because obviously this is a high season for you, summer, because you don't necessarily rely so much on business travel as you do on leisure travel, right?
Yeah, and we are tracking the volatility of fuel prices. As they go up, we have to pass it along in our fares. Mm-hmm. And we have to be careful, because if we don't make hay while the sun shines by the end of the summer, the gate comes down and we have a long winter ahead of us. So we're staying right on top of it.
Dan, why does your approach not scale up?
In what sense?
In the sense that it can't be imitated by United or American or one of the bigger airlines.
I don't really think they take us seriously, actually. I don't blame them for that. But we sort of like to be the Rodney Dangerfield of the little airline world.
I've got a question for you, Dan. When American recently decided to charge $15 for the first bag, instead of adding it on to the price of the ticket, everybody hated them instantly. Why do you add surcharges? Why do you call it a surcharge and just instead of folding it into the price of a ticket?
Well, we don't do that, and I think you could have a long debate about whether it makes sense. We are very much about value added, so if we're going to add extra price onto the ticket for amenities that we provide, we have to make sure that they actually add value to it.
That's Stephen Dubner, author of Freakonomics.
No, that's Dan Wolf. Stephen Dubner asked
I'm
the
sorry.
Question.
Yeah,
I'm John Hockenberry.
So
we look alike on the radio.
We do, yes.
Dan, please excuse me.
So the Rodney Dangerfield, that's your model. I guess, you know, that's a very hopeless message for the large carriers, because they're not going to ever have the efficiencies that you have. And at the scale that the big airlines have to operate at to cover the country, it's really hard to see how they would ever make a profit.
Well, the issue is really the demand and the capacity. And the problem is the airline industry is hopeless in that every time we start to get healthy, we create just enough capacity so that we become unprofitable. And I guess the question is, what's going to break that cycle?
And Dan, you just said that you don't think the major carriers take you seriously. Perhaps they should.
Well, I was being a little bit tongue-in-cheek, actually. We partner with all of the major airlines. Our real challenge at Cape Air is to connect small communities into the national and international air transportation system. So our best partners are the major airlines. We partner with all of them. So that, you know, when I say they don't take us seriously, they're not really interested in our niche of the world. Because of the equipment they operate, they're really focused on long-haul markets. And in many cases, those markets are just too competitive. There's too much capacity on them.
Dan Wolf, founder, CEO, and a pilot for Cape Air, based in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Dan, many thanks.
Pleasure to be with you. Have a great morning.
And well, his planes aren't parked out there in the desert like the airlines. Empty planes are, that's for sure.
No, they move along. You see them out there, and they're always full, I must say. Right now, headlines from Femi Oke. Good morning, Femi.
Good morning. Just gone 22 minutes to the hour. The Midwest struggles to shore up rising rivers.